Some of you guys already know this because I've spoken about it in the past, but my wife Shirley really loves Korean dramas. Last year I watched one with her that I thought was quite funny. In one of the episodes, it's the main character's birthday, and his mom gives him a t-shirt for his birthday. Now his mom usually gives him fake branded t-shirts for his birthday, but this time he gets this Guess, the brand Guess, you know Guess? That one? T-shirt for his birthday. And he's really excited about it because it seems very real this time. Anyway, so he gets this shirt from his mum, and then he wears it very proudly because he loves it. And he goes to school, and he kind of wears it under his school uniform, and he shows it to his friends proudly. And then one of his friends turns around, and he takes a close look at the shirt. And he says, "Hey, doesn't Guess usually have a question mark like that? Why does your shirt have an exclamation mark?" And you can see the expression on his face change from being really happy and proud to being very disappointed. Now, sometimes it is quite hard to tell if something is fake or real, just like this t-shirt. The difference could be between a question mark and an exclamation mark. But today we are talking about something much more serious than just brands and t-shirts. We are talking about something so serious that it will affect your whole life. We're talking about the difference between what is really true and what is fake in this world. There are so many different beliefs and religions in this world, and it's really hard to know what is really true when everyone seems to be fighting about the truth. And sometimes it's actually really easy for us to get sucked in by what is fake. So how do we actually know if something is true or fake? The book of Galatians, which we'll be studying for the rest of this semester, is a book that is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. This church was started by Paul himself, and he taught them the good news about Jesus Christ, and they believed the message. That's how the church started. But after Paul left them to teach somewhere else, some fake believers came into the church and began to teach the church members a different message, saying that Paul's message is actually fake. So Paul writes this letter to persuade the Galatians again that his message is absolutely true. And so the message of Galatians is important for us today because it talks about the issue of what is fake and what is true in our lives. So here's a quick outline of where we're headed for today. So you can watch the screen or you can follow in your zines with the passage. Okay. So from the beginning of this letter, the point that Paul wants to make very, very clear is that the good news about Jesus is true. But firstly, he reminds them about what this good news is. So have a look at verses 3-5. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So in our small group Bible studies this week at Focus, we are talking about how sin came into this world and affected all of us. Since the first man disobeyed God, every single person has been trapped in sin. Every single person has a broken relationship with God because of sin. And because of that, this world as you see it now has become corrupt and evil. Just look around at this world. We always hear about horrible things that happen around the world. You hear of rape, you hear of murder, robberies, pedophilia, terrorism, broken families, violence, wars, racism, and so many other things. Sin is a problem that we just can't fix ourselves, and only God can really fix our problem. And that's exactly why Jesus, the Son of God, had to come and give himself so that we can restore our relationship with God. Now, the good news is that Jesus has dealt with our problem of sin and will rescue us from the present evil age, Now, I don't know about you, but I'm personally looking forward to the day when evil will be dealt with completely. The day when there will be no rape, no murder, no robberies, terrorism, broken families, no crying, no pain, and no death. The good news for us is that even though we can do nothing ourselves to restore our relationship with God, He has done everything for us through Jesus Christ. In other words, we are saved completely as a gift from God, and we call it grace. This is the message that Paul has been preaching to the Galatians in the past, and this is the message that we preach here at Credo. But the problem with the Galatian church here is that some fake believers have actually entered this church. And they have been saying to them that you don't only need Jesus to save you, you need also to be circumcised and you need to do all these other things. In other words, they are actually teaching that we are saved by God's grace, but also all these other things. So in order to make sure that we understand what is true, Paul begins to defend his message that he has been preaching. And he begins by explaining where this good news came from. So the important thing for us to know is that the good news that Paul is preaching and that we are preaching is not from humans, but from God. So have a look at verse 1. Paul calls himself an apostle sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So the word apostle means a person who is sent. And Paul is not sent just by any human, but he is sent actually by God the Father. In verse 11 to 12, he continues and says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, the message that Paul was teaching to people wasn't just a message that some other person taught to him. He didn't just sit in church and hear someone say to him, "Jesus died for your sins." The story of how Paul became a Christian is one that is very different to everyone else in this room. For me, I became a Christian because I went to a church when I was 13 years old, and I was taught by people in that church. Everyone else in this room was also taught by other Christian people. The message was passed down to us by other people. But Paul's story is a little bit different, actually quite different. As it says in verse 12, he received the message through a revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, he actually saw Jesus Christ himself. And this is what makes his conversion special. His story is special also because of the amazing change that has happened in his life after he met Jesus in person. So have a look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my own people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." In other words, before Paul became a Christian, he was actually a very, very devoted Jew. In fact, he was so devoted that he thought Christians were his enemies, and he did everything that he could to destroy the church. He put Christians in prison and even had Christians killed. In his learning about Judaism, he was the top of his class. He was that student in your class that gets high distinctions all the time. But this is the crazy thing. Even though he worked so hard to destroy the Christians, one day he just completely flipped 180 degrees. He completely changed and started to teach the same message that the Christians were teaching. It's like seeing a mass murderer turn around and become a doctor all of a sudden. Paul's life turned completely upside down, and he was now building up the Christian faith that he was trying to destroy, as it says in verse 23. Now, how does such a change happen so quickly? Surely no one would make such a huge change unless they were absolutely sure that what they were doing in the past was wrong. So, what actually changed him? Well, before Paul became a Christian, he thought that Jesus was dead. And that's why he put many Christians in prison, because they were teaching that Jesus was still alive, that he had come back to life. But when Paul met Jesus face to face, he had no choice but to accept that Jesus was alive. And so when Paul saw that Jesus is alive, his whole life changed. So now Paul had this new identity. He was no longer some high distinction Jewish man. He was a Christian, saved by God's grace. So have a look at verses 15 to 16. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Paul understands now that he is saved only by God's grace, and his mission is to bring God's good news to the world. Now, it's also interesting that his immediate response was not to go and check and consult with any human being like we do. Remember the question that we asked, that we talked about at the beginning. What do you normally do if you want to check if something is real or true? And some people have said, you know, you go and ask an expert, maybe a detective or something. If you want to know the answer to a scientific question, you should probably ask a scientist. If you want to know something about the law, you would ask a lawyer. If you want to see if you have the flu, you would go and see a doctor. And if you have any doubts, you would ask the king of all information, Luke.
Google.
Exactly, Google. But if you want answers to your questions about God, you ask religious leaders. The Christian leaders of Paul's time were the people who knew Jesus personally, and all of those leaders were living in Jerusalem at that time. So if Paul wanted to check to see if his message was true, he should have gone to Jerusalem. But Paul didn't actually do that. Paul was so convinced that what he was teaching was true that he didn't feel like he needed to check with anyone. And so in verse 17 he says, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later I returned to Damascus. When he finally decided to go to Jerusalem, he only stayed there for a little while, and it was so that he could meet some of the leaders. So in verses 18 to 19, we see that after 3 years, he finally went to meet Cephas, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples. His other name is Peter, so you might know that. And James also, who was Jesus' brother. Then he went around to Syria and to Cilicia and kept teaching that same message. And many Christians were amazed because this man who was trying to destroy the church was suddenly now trying to build that church up. But even after all of this, Paul did not go and check with the other Christian leaders about whether his message was true or not. That was something that he finally did only after 14 years. Now, one thing that is unique about the Christian faith is that its message has been confirmed by many witnesses. What other religions actually began with many witnesses and are actually based on historical facts? Religions are often started from the ideas of one person. I can give you some examples, and I'm not an expert on any of these religions, so I'm sorry if I make some mistakes, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Buddhism was started from one man, Prince Gautama Siddhartha, and he started it in response to the suffering that he saw in the world. Islam was started by one man, the Prophet Muhammad. He basically said that he saw visions and received messages from God while he was praying in a cave. Mormonism was started by one man, Joseph Smith, who said he met an angel who told him about these tablets, which Joseph then translated into English. Now, I also recently met some Japanese people who are from a church called the Unification Church, which is started by one man in Korea, Reverend Moon, who said that he received messages from God about how to interpret the Bible. The problem with all of these is that it is very, very easy for one person to lie about those things, or to come up with just some random ideas themselves. If these religions were just started by one man, how can you actually know if they were lying or not? There were no other witnesses. But the amazing thing about the Bible is that it was written not just by one person, but by many different authors and many witnesses of the amazing things that God has done. And here we see that Paul is just one of the many witnesses of Jesus Christ. Christianity was not just started by one person. It was started by many different people as they witnessed the work of one God. The story of the Bible is the real story of God, told by many different people. And for 2,000 years, no one has been able to prove it wrong. But just to make sure that his message really was the real thing, Paul had to confirm it with the leaders in Jerusalem. So in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we see that after another 14 years, Paul finally went again to Jerusalem. But this time he wanted to confirm the message to see if it was real or fake. The problem at that time was that there were some false believers who came into the church who challenged Paul's message, saying that you are saved not only by grace, but also by circumcision. But Paul says in verse 5, "We did not give in to them, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." In other words, these false believers were challenging Paul's message, but Paul and his companions were so confident about their message about Jesus Christ that they were not willing to change their message even a tiny bit. So when Paul finally met the leaders at Jerusalem to confirm his message about Jesus Christ, he found out that his message that he has been preaching for about 20 years was the exact same message as the leaders in Jerusalem. So verse 6 says, "They added nothing to my message." These leaders had the exact same message as Paul. In other words, it's basically like this. Imagine that there is a man named Bob who tells you this. "On the 21st of August 2016, at about 1 a.m., I saw a spaceship land on the Sydney Harbour Bridge." You would probably say, "That's ridiculous." But then later on, you meet someone else who has no relationship with Bob at all. And he says, "On the 21st of August 2016, at about 1 a.m., I saw a spaceship land on the Sydney Harbour Bridge." And I know you might be thinking, sure, that's really hard to believe. I don't believe that kind of thing anyway. But the evidence is strong because you have two witnesses who don't know each other saying the same thing about an event that they saw. But the evidence for the truth of Paul's message is even stronger because there were more than two witnesses. What Paul is trying to say is that if the Galatians were not willing to trust his message, then they should go and ask the experts about whether or not Paul's message was reliable. And in verses 7 to 9, Paul explains that these experts realized that Paul was also just like them, entrusted with the task of preaching the good news. Just like God had sent James, Cephas, and John, he had also sent Paul. The point is that Paul's message about Jesus Christ is reliable because his message is from God and not from humans. So what does this actually mean for us today? Paul wrote the book of Galatians to make sure that the Christians in Galatia continue to stay faithful to Jesus. Paul was absolutely sure about his faith in Jesus, and he wanted other Christians to be absolutely sure as well. So that perhaps if someone else is teaching them something different, they might know the difference between what is true and what is fake. And that is exactly what we want to do for you as well. We want everyone here to know the truth. We want everyone here to stand firm in that truth, not letting any false teachings tear us away from God. And the message of truth has not changed. It has always been about how God saves us by His grace. So ask yourself the question, do you trust that the good news about Jesus Christ is true? If you do, then you must stand firm in that faith and not listen to fake messages. But of course, sometimes it is really hard to tell if something is real or fake, isn't it? There are plenty of people out there who will try to make you change your mind about the good news of Jesus. There are plenty of different churches around the world with false believers who will try to make you think differently. But we must never, ever forget the message that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, there were false believers who were saying that you are not only saved by God's grace, but also by getting circumcised and doing all these other things. And now today, there are many false teachers that will teach you things that are very different to what the Bible teaches. Sometimes it will be hard to tell the difference, just like the guest t-shirt that I showed you at the beginning. The difference could be very small, like the difference between an exclamation mark and a question mark. But the difference changes everything. One is real and one is fake. If you know the Bible well, then you will be able to see those differences. So it is very important that we know the Bible well so that we aren't led astray by these different teachings. Nowadays, you will meet many people who say that they are Christians, but they won't teach you what the Bible teaches. There are people who call themselves Christians, but they teach you that when you become a Christian, you won't need to suffer anymore. They say that if you become a Christian, you can become rich because God will bless you and your life will be awesome. They teach you that if you are not rich and healthy, then maybe your faith just isn't strong enough. This kind of teaching is what we call prosperity gospel, because it says that if you become a Christian, then you will have prosperity. And this is completely different to what the Bible teaches. But the sad thing is that this kind of teaching is actually very, very popular around the world these days, in places like China, Africa, Indonesia, and also here in Australia. My warning to you is that you should definitely stay away from these kinds of teaching. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to save us from this evil age, not to make us rich. So please, be careful. People like Paul, John, James, and Cephas fought very, very hard to make sure that the truth was not changed. And they wrote these things down so that they could pass them on into future generations. And we today, 2,000 years later, benefit from that. These people back then fought so hard that many of them even died for the message. And now, because of the great sacrifice of these people, we have the great privilege of having the Bible here with us today. And we can read it for ourselves. We can check to see if it's true. And we must not take that opportunity for granted. Now, if all of this is still very new to you, I would like to encourage you to read the Bible with us. Read it and ask lots of questions about it, and use every opportunity that you can find to know more about it, because this can really change your life, just as it changed Paul's life. So don't let that opportunity escape you. While you are here in Australia, please take that opportunity to read this life-changing book. It's so readily available. You can buy it in many different bookstores, even not Christian bookstores. And you can even get it on your phones now as well. You can get it everywhere. This is the book, this is the message that has changed Paul's life, and it has changed my life as well. And it has given me this amazing hope. And I would love to see that happen for you as well. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you so much that the message we have received about Jesus Christ is true. Thank you that it has been preserved through many generations and passed on for the last 2,000 years and made known to us. We ask that you will shape us and change us with your word, and help us to stay true to your word always, no matter what kinds of false teachings might come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.